Blog Talk Radio.
County, you know it. It's always the Union City, folks. Insider NJ proudly brings to you Politically Direct, and I am, as always, the professor, Fernando Uribe. I want to welcome you all here tonight, the 11th of October, this rainy Thursday night here, folks, in New Jersey. Hope everyone's safe on the roads. From my dad at MetLife tonight, watching the Philadelphia Eagles and the New York Giants live. Again, be careful there with the rain. Hopefully, no one gets sick. Stay hydrated. Of course, stay dry if you can. Of course, everybody listening tonight, hopefully you're home. If not, if you're on your way home, get home safely, folks. Again, we'll welcome you all here this evening, the 11th of October, folks. And, of course, I want to thank you for listening from wherever you are and however you are here in the Garden State. And, of course, to all my good friends across the good old US of A. You can write to the show's inbox, folks, which is politicallydirectnj@yahoo.com. Once again, politicallydirectnj@yahoo.com. Now, don't forget to follow the show on Instagram @politicallydirectnj. You can follow me directly on Instagram as well @your_favorite_Fernando. And of course, you can follow me on Twitter @ProfessorUribe. Now, folks, again, appreciate all the love there on social media. You know, I post every day, whether it's some political opinions or anything about sports, pro wrestling, or everything else that I love, my philanthropy as well. Check it out there. And again, I appreciate all the new likes, all the followers on my Instagram and Twitter. Of course, for all of you Facebook subscribers, take a moment, go to the official page for Politically Direct, like it, and tell your friends to do the same. Now, I do want to hear from you at some point tonight, so don't be shy and call me toll free. 818-572-8032. Once again, toll-free number to call in tonight if you wish to opine or offer some feedback on tonight's guest, which is very, very good. Come up in just a few moments, so stay tuned. You can call me again toll-free tonight, 818-572-8032. And our toll-free number is brought to you by Insider NJ. Now, folks, check out Insider NJ for the best political news in Garden State. You can do so by going to www.insidernj.com. for the best coverage of the political scene throughout the state of New Jersey. Don't forget to follow Insider NJ on Twitter and, of course, like Insider NJ on Facebook. And once you're on the site, folks, just click on the subscribe button right at the very top of the page, and you'll receive the morning intelligence briefing conveniently delivered to your inbox free of charge each and every morning. So as you have a breakfast, maybe commuting to work, commuting to school, whatever it is you're doing, folks, and you're stuck in traffic, so we don't want you looking at your handheld device while you're driving. But if you're just wherever you are, stationary, check it out. It's the best news about what's going on in the Garden State in the political arena. Of course, courtesy of Insider NJ, www.insidernj.com. Don't forget to start your day with Insider NJ. Now, the opinions and views expressed tonight and every week here on Politically Direct are mine and mine alone. They do not represent those of Insider NJ, the management, or staff. Now, folks, our great guest coming up in just a moment. And normally what I like to do every single week is, you know, usually begin with my first shot. It's, you know, a little political in nature. However, today, a little bit of a different turn for me, folks. And one of the things I take pride on here about Politically Direct is not just it's a politically centric show, but listen, I want to bring you the best guests, whether it's about nonprofit causes, about activism, things involving the community, and all 21 counties in New Jersey. Well, you know what? That's what we do here on Politically Direct. So, you know what? I'm going to take a break from politics today, at least during my opening monologue. And I want to tell you a story about an inspiring young man, folks. And hopefully you want to take this opportunity and bring his story to your attention. Now, his name is Andre Scavetti. He is a high school senior on the Cedar Grove High School football team. Now, he's an offensive lineman. Now, when you look at him, folks, he is one mean customer. I'll tell you, I would not want him, you know, tackling me, or if I'm a defensive lineman or a linebacker, that's not a guy I want to run into on the line of scrimmage. But you know what? Andre Scavetti is a great kid. He's a senior. And one of the things about his story that's very inspiring is that he is a nominee this year for the Heart of a Giant Award, and that is courtesy of USA Football. And, of course, they're working together with the Hospital for Special Surgery and the New York Giants. Now, Andre's been diagnosed with what's called osteochondritis dissecans, otherwise known as OCD. Now, I know that for most of us, when we think about OCD, we don't think of this disease, but it is a disease that is contained in one's knees. Now, OCD in the knee takes place when pieces of your knee, or lesions, for example, are slowly decaying because they aren't getting enough blood flow. Now, tragically, this disease is found within every 30 kids out of 100,000 in the United States. So that's only for one knee and one lesion. Now, Andre's story is a little bit different. He's had three lesions in his right knee, and as of now, he's also had three other lesions forming in his left knee. Folks, you know, Andre's an inspiring young man because he continues to fight every day, and he's dedicated to playing the sport of football, a sport that we love to watch on Sundays, even tonight on Thursday Night Football, of course, or even on Monday nights. But, you know, when you look at Andre's story, he's a high school senior, and he's been through so much. You know, he was playing football his freshman year, and surgeries really, you know, interrupted his football career. But I'm glad to say that he's fighting the good fight. He's an inspiration to so many around him, his family, his sister Elisa, who's a big fan of the show, of course, his parents and immediate family and friends. And, folks, the real interesting thing about the Heart of a Giant Award coming up here is that it's really to shed light on inspiring stories of young men and women that are persevering through personal tragedy and certainly persevering through the conflict against disease. And the great thing about the Heart of a Giant Award, again, sponsored by USA Football, is there will be six finalists for the awards, folks. Now, the six finalists will receive a $1,500 equipment grant for their high school football programs. In addition, they'll also receive a Heart of a Giant gift bag. Now, the grand prize winner will receive an additional $5,000 equipment grant for his or her high school football program. And the Heart of a Giant trophy presentation will take place on the field at MetLife Stadium during the New York Giants home game in December. Now, folks, as you know, I'm a dedicated member of Cowboys Nation, and I would never, ever plug anything about the New York Giants because that's just not who I am. But, folks, this is an exception that I have to make because Andre Scavetti is a great story. So what I urge you want to do tonight, whether it's after the show, you can do it right now as you're listening to the show. I'm sure you can multitask on your smartphone, your PC, your Mac, or tablet that you're listening to the program on tonight. But go to www.usafootball.com/heartofagiant. Cast your vote for Andre Scavetti. I believe when you click on the website, Dream 5 right now, he is the first young man that's featured there. So vote. Vote as much as you can on every device you can. Vote on your computer. Vote on your laptop. Vote on your tablet. Vote on your smartphone. Voting ends on October 27th, folks. And again, I'm proud to endorse here tonight a very worthwhile nominee for the Heart of a Giant Award, Andre Scavetti from Cedar Grove High School in Cedar Grove, New Jersey. He's a senior on the Cedar Grove football team. He's a very, very dedicated offensive lineman. And I'll tell you, you know what, it's really, you know, if I could just sum up what I think of Andre, I could just simply say he's the hardest working football player in the tri-state area, bottom line. And that's no disrespect to our great kids playing college ball and even in the NFL. But this kid right here has got a heart of gold. And you know what, the way he's persevered and triumphed through this is just absolutely amazing. So take a moment, vote for Andre Scavetti for the Heart of a Giant Award. Again, go to www.usafootball.com/Heart of a Giant. You can vote every day. Again, vote from every device you possibly can, from your laptop, your desktop, your tablet, and your smartphone. Tell your friends to do the same. Share it. I have shared Andre's story and his link on the Facebook page for Politically Direct. So do me a favor, share it to all your friends to do the same. And I'm hoping to see, you know, Andre not only be a finalist coming up, but to ultimately be the grand prize winner in December at MetLife for him to receive the Heart of a Giant Award. Again, it's a great, great project, courtesy of USA Football and, of course, the Hospital for Special Surgery, partnering with the New York Giants. Again, folks, vote for Andre Scavetti. Just an inspiring story. Trust me. Look him up there on the Heart of a Giant website. And again, usafootball.com/Heart of a Giant. Cash vote and vote as much as you can between now and October 27th. So, again, Politically Direct is proud to endorse Andre Scavetti for the 2018 Heart of a Giant Award. I hope you will too. So, vote and vote often between now and October 27th. Folks, it's a great story to say the very least here. So, again, check it out and show your support for Andre Scavetti, because we do here on Politically Direct. All right, folks, 8:11 here on the East Coast. And again, of course, you know, taking a break from politics today again. So hope you feel inspired about what the story I just shared with you concerning Andre Scavetti, just an inspirational high school senior, Cedar Grove High School. Hopefully you'll vote for him, and hopefully we'll get to see him win the Heart of a Giant Award coming up this December. But as I said, we are taking a break, folks, from politics tonight, because I want to bring you the most interesting guests about the most important causes, and that's what we do here on Politically Direct. And it is 8:12 on the East Coast, folks. It is my pleasure to welcome to the show. Now, she's the young lady who I've had on my local podcast here in Hudson County at Talk on the Hudson, which you can listen to live every Wednesday night, live at 9 p.m. at www.blogtalkradio.com/Talk on the Hudson. But it's my pleasure to have her on here tonight exclusively on Politically Direct. She is the director and president of the Act Now Foundation, folks, for Alzheimer's awareness. And let me tell you, they're a worthwhile organization. If you have any disposable income, go to actnowfoundation.org. There's a little yellow button there right at the top of the page. It says donate. Do me a favor. I know it's October. I know everyone loves their little pays and their coffees in the morning. I know I do, but do me a favor. Instead of having coffee every day this week, only have it 2 days a week. Take those 3 days, take those $4 in change, and donate it to the Act Now Foundation. You can go to their website, www.actnowfoundation.org. They're building awareness one mind at a time. And it's my pleasure to bring here to the program tonight on Politically Direct your friend and mine, Miss Christine Allen. How are you, Christine?
Great, Fernando. How are you?
I'm good. I hope you like that plug there to try to get you some donations there, because I like to do
that. That was great. That was a great way to start the show. Thank you very much.
Oh, absolutely. Listen, I mean, it's October. I know everyone loves their little pumpkin lattes and pumpkin spice coffee and everything else. I get all that. But do me a favor, for everyone listening tonight, just, hey, instead of having coffee every day this week, have it twice a week. It won't kill you. But you know what? What it will do is make a difference, really, to donating to you and the Act Now Foundation. So how are you? I know a lot of good things are happening with the foundation. I know you've we'll get to the Dementia Center that recently opened in North Bergen, right up here in my neck of the woods, and we'll certainly get to that in a moment.
Yeah.
But Christine, anyone listening tonight that is not aware of the Act Now Foundation, we know that Alzheimer's continues to be a dreaded disease that claims the lives of too many Americans. I mean, really people all over the world. But here in the United States and in New Jersey, it is an illness that is claiming way too many people. And I know that for you, Alzheimer's is a very personal fight. Can you tell our audience that exactly what prompted you to start the Act Now Foundation and why you fight so hard every day?
Well, you know, I mean, as so many of us in New Jersey and so many of us around this country and in the world, we're all living with this disease in one way or another. We know somebody, it's a relative, it's a family, it's a friend of a friend, and we're all touched by it. And maybe about, gosh, my mother-in-law was diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease about 20 years ago. and we were her full-time caregivers for over 16 years of that time. And so I've lived with this disease. I have experienced it. I've felt every horrific moment that happens with this disease. And it just came one day where I just, when we were out trying to look for help and trying to find the support services and trying to get more educated about this disease, trying to become better caregivers, there was really no place for us to go. And I just, one day I just said, I turned to my co-partner, Carrie Lopez, my co-founder, and I said, Carrie, we can do something about this. And you know what? We did. I mean, we didn't just say we were going to do it. We actually did it. We sold our company, was in a totally different business, had nothing to do with nonprofit or Alzheimer's disease, but we sold the company. We had been educating ourselves for over 14 years. We then became certified dementia practitioners and started Act Now Foundation back in 2012 is when we incorporated, but to be honest with you, we really didn't get going till 2014. And we opened our first resource center in 2015, to which I think you were there at the grand opening. And
yes,
we were in 2015, we opened the first resource center, and now 3 years later, we have three offices, a new dementia center. And I really think, at least I hope, that we are making a difference in people's lives. You know, I really do hope that. It's the one thing that we needed when we were struggling. And so I'm hoping that we're at least that sounding board for families, that we're a place and we're a phone call and we're an ear to listen to anything that they're going through at that moment. We never had that, and we want to give that to families now.
You know, Christine, it's quite the inspiring story in terms of how deeply personal this is for you, and certainly what you've endured, what your family's endured with that. And it sort of just reminds me, and I know that, you know, I haven't had you on my show for some time. I think it was like earlier in the spring, if I remember correctly. I think it was sometime in May when I had you on my local show. So it's great to have you here. And of course, I have to give a plug to my boss. And I have to give a plug to my boss, Pete Onelia, because I know he sits on the board for the Act Now Foundation.
He does.
So it will be,
and
I will be
remiss. And he's an incredible guy, I got to tell you. Yeah.
Oh, he's great. He's a great boss. I mean, he can be a pain in the neck for me sometimes. I'm not going to lie to you, but he's a great guy.
I won't tell him.
but he's a great guy to work for. So again, hopefully, I won't get me in trouble.
Yeah.
But you know, Christine, it makes me think because, you know, over the summer, it's one of those things when you get involved with nonprofit work, like I do. I do a lot of philanthropy, as you know, and I'm involved with causes that are very important to me. And it just it sort of served as a reminder. You know, this past June, my grandmother just turned 100, and
that is incredible.
I'm not sure if you saw the album on Facebook or Instagram, but you know, the mayor here in Union City, Brian Stack, which is, there's so many great things for the community, was very generous along with the town to give her a plaque and to erect the street in which she lives on in her name. So here in
Union
City,
that's incredible.
Yeah.
Congratulations to her.
Thank you. And, you know, Sarah Gonzalez Away became a reality in June, literally a day before her 100th day. And, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, I see my grandmother every day. And, of course, she's 100 years old, so her mobility isn't as great as it used to be. But one of the things my family and I are really grateful for is the fact that my grandma – I mean, thank the Lord, is still as sharp as a knife. I mean, she can tell me things.
And you know what, Fernando, that just proves that Alzheimer's disease or any related dementia is not a normal part of aging. Just because we get old does not mean that we're destined to get this disease. I mean, and your grandma's 100 years old, and look at how she's living, and that's just incredible. I mean, I'd love to hear those stories.
Yeah, no, it's one of those things where, I mean, again, like, I think from time to time, there are just some things in our recollection that just aren't there. And that happened. It's 100 years.
Of course.
But
hey, it happens to me at my age, and I'm half her age.
Well, I don't know about that. I mean, I don't know about that. I think you're kind of putting way too many numbers in there. You know, wait a minute. Hold on a second. I went to your birthday, I think, last year. Wait a minute. I went to your 35th birthday last year.
You're so kind.
No, I remember
you're
this.
You're so
last
kind.
No, it was September 2017. I think it was your 35th birthday. Seriously. I'm like, what?
Oh, yes, it was. Actually, it was.
That's
thank
right.
you.
Yes, that's right.
I just kind of, you see, I forgot.
There you go. And it's interesting because, you know, I talked to my grandmother, and there are just some things seldomly that she'll remember. She'll remember my college graduation, which was some time ago, and she'll remember, you know, other important milestones for me. And it just, it's one of those things that my family and I are, we're so grateful to have her, and again, mentally, but we know that not every family's fortunate like us. And you know, I'm thankful every day, but it really is a testament to the good work that you do. And I know that starting your own nonprofit with, you know, your fellow partner within the nonprofit itself, takes a lot of work, takes a lot of dedication, but like anything else, Christine, I mean, it takes funding. And I know that that's probably been one of the more difficult aspects of getting this off the ground. You know,
it's really, I underestimated, I did really underestimate how difficult that part is, you know, because you go into something like this with your full heart and you're so passionate and you're just ready to get going. And then you're like, wait, well, I can't do that and I can't do that. But, you know, so sometimes it gets really frustrating. And that, you know, it takes up a lot of our time. It's a full-time job. Fundraising is a full-time job all in itself. So on top of running the programs and running the center and now three offices, you still every day have to go against the battle of fundraising. And I'm not very good at it. You know, I'm not, it's hard to ask people to give and not get anything in return except for the satisfaction that they know they're doing something great for other people. I find it very satisfying, but it's still, it's hard. It's not an easy, you know, I come from the for-profit world, and when we needed money, we went to a bank, right, to get a loan. And not that you can't do that in a nonprofit, you can, but we choose not to. We are, you know, a debt-free organization, and almost 90% of all of our money goes right back into the corporation, into the programs. And so we're very pleased with that number, but it's hard. It's really hard.
No, listen, I can certainly imagine. And it's one of those things that really, I think, helps hopefully our audience understand how diligent you have to be in this line of work. And at the same time, being creative and being innovative. And I know that you've been able to organize some very exciting fundraisers. You've been able to have local municipalities jump on board and show their support. And listen, that is, I'm sure, been a godsend to the ACT Now Foundation, because every nonprofit gets that sort of look where they can have local municipalities help out or contribute anything that they can. I mean, is there anyone that really stands out for you here in Hudson County in terms of elected officials or other community leaders that have really sort of like stepped up to the plate and said, you know what, we're going to really stand side by side with you and really, really work hard with you on this?
You know what, Fernando, I really have to be honest with you and say we have been so lucky that we have gotten full support from everybody, not even just in Hudson County. We now have support in Bergen County. And I have to say, yes, we do work very hard at it. But I tell them, I tell our legislators, hey, this is your responsibility. We are taking care of your residents, your citizens, and you want your citizens to be happy and productive and full-fledged, you know, fully-fledged community. And we need your help to do that. So it's like I just put my foot down and I don't let them get away with not supporting us. that's the tone I take. I'm like, hey, this is your mom, this is your dad, this is you one day, you know, and this is what we need. And the rate and the growth of this disease is coming so fast, and we're literally all touched by it. We have to start getting together as a community, as an organization, as all organizations coming together to fight this disease. Because if we don't, and if we don't do anything, and if the community isn't aware about the warning signs and the symptoms and how to possibly prevent it, and they don't know what to look for in their family members or in their neighbors. You know, we have a lot of them are living alone, and a lot of our seniors are living alone below the poverty line. And so they need help. They need their neighbors to watch out for them. They need the guy who's working the local bodega, the corner bodega, to watch out for them. They need the person in the bank watching out for them, or when they go to the super Walmart every Sunday to buy food, they need to be watching out for them. So it's really important to us that we get everyone involved in the community, not just our politicians and our legislators and our commissioners and our councilmen and women, community leaders involved, people who, you know, managers at the bank and managers at Walmart. And we're training, you know, we're really trying to train the entire community. We'll go to one bodega at a time and train them on the warning signs and symptoms to what to look out for, because it literally takes a village to monitor and watch this disease. So
no,
I have to give my hat off to all of those legislators, because every single one have, every time we've gone to any one of them, literally, they have never said no. And of course, you know, Tom DeGees, who is our county executive, he was the first one, and Freeholder Anthony Romano was one of the, those were our first two big supporters. And Tom has been there for us every step of the way, and we've been very thankful to him and his support and his loyalty. And we probably wouldn't be here where we are today if it wasn't for him. But he's one of many who support us, and we are honored and pleased and blessed that they do.
Well, you know what? Tom's a great guy. I've had him on the show before, and he's a stand-up gentleman. Very personable, and it's refreshing to hear about the county executive being so forthright and really being proactive to help you and your organization.
Yeah.
I think it's a wonderful
But I have to say, yeah, it really is. It's a great testament to him and all the mayors. I mean, every mayor.
Sure.
Mayor Stack
yeah,
was one of the first as well. And Mayor Sacco, and now we're in, you know, our dementia center is in his hometown now, and he has really... The entire city of North Bergen has just really opened their arms to us, and we feel loved and we feel welcomed, and they're fully supportive. I just saw Congressman Cietis tonight at an event, and he's going to be stopping by the center. And so, you know, I just, you know, I don't let them off the hook. That's the whole point. Don't let them off the hook.
No,
they have
to
help. That's
right.
Their job.
Yes, you're absolutely right about that. You're absolutely right. You know, Christine, one of the things, and we'll certainly get to politics in a little bit, because I certainly want to sort of pick your brain about sort of some of the difficulties that exist with working with the legislature and trying to get funding, because we know it's a task. We know it's a process and everything
yeah.
else. But before we get to that, I certainly want to, and especially for our audience that maybe are not aware of the magnitude of how serious Alzheimer's is, not just locally, but statewide, even nationally. What are some numbers you can share with our audience today in terms of any improvements in the field? Are we seeing a decline in reported cases? Are we seeing perhaps a spike in new cases where it's happening at a much younger rate than it was before? Any new data or research you can share with us today that we can start to dissect and really talk about?
Yeah. Well, you know what? I wish I could relate and tell you that it's getting better. Unfortunately, it's just not. It is increasing at a rapid rate. I mean, right now we say that Alzheimer's is the sixth leading cause of death in America. But in actuality, it's really the third behind heart disease and cancer. And the only reason that we don't officially announce it as the third leading cause of death is just because, and you might be shocked to know, that Alzheimer's disease is not being listed on the death certificates. So when someone passes away of Alzheimer's or another form of dementia, the doctors are not listing it on the death certificate. So therefore, it doesn't get counted. So we have all of these people dying from a lot more people are dying from this disease than we know. And because it's not being documented, it's not counting. So we're the sixth leading cause instead of the third leading cause. And I will tell you something. You know what would happen?
Wow.
You know what would happen if we were legitimately called the third leading cause of death? Guess what would happen? Money for research.
I would argue there would be a considerable spike in funding. Absolutely, yeah.
Absolutely. Funding for not only research, but funding for support services for organizations like mine. And so ACT Now, myself and Carrie, my co-founder, we wrote a bill for the state of New Jersey that was passed in 2016 that mandates if a family member dies of Alzheimer's disease or related dementia, it must legally be listed on the death certificate. So at least we in the state of New Jersey can lead the way in the fight against this disease. And that's one of the things that we are most proud of, because we really feel like we can make a difference and get more attention to this disease as it deserves, which means we can raise more money for research and put this money into research into finding a cure. Because to be honest with you, Fernando, you know, the drug trials that have been happening over the last 20 years have never brought forward a new medication. We haven't had a new treatment or medication for Alzheimer's in over 20 years because
wow.
Nothing's happening. Yeah. And you know, I was just reading that, was reading somebody, a scientist the other day from Boston, had said that we are never going to be able to find a cure for Alzheimer's if we continue treating patients once they become symptomatic. The goal in research is to treat them before the onset of symptoms. So that means that prevention is the name of the game. And that's something that we at Act Now Foundation, we talk a lot about, is trying to do everything we can to prevent getting this disease from day one. Because once you get it, once the symptoms come out, there's nothing you can do except slow down the progression, which we can slow down the progression with a lifestyle change and with the treatments that we do have right now, the medications that we do have, we can slow down the progression. Doesn't work for everybody, but it does work for a lot of people. But we have to start treating this before the onset of symptoms. And that's where research is heading nowadays. We are really focusing on treatment. And I will tell you, there is a very prominent, there's a lot of talk right now, a lot of buzz about a new treatment, a new medication that's proving extremely well in research. And what it's done is that this new medication has been able to not only reduce the formation of amyloid beta plaques, of beta amyloid plaques in the brain. Now, plaques, mm-hmm. what happens in the brain is that when the amyloid plaques start to develop, then grow and grow and grow within the brain. It kills the brain cell, and that's what's causing the Alzheimer's disease. So that's the actual cause of the disease, is this beta amyloid plaque. This new medication has the capability to reduce the formation of new plaques, but here's the kicker. This is something new. It also has the ability to reduce the amyloid plaques that are already existing in the brain. So not only can it stop the formation of new plaques, but it can actually reduce the current plaque buildup in the brain, and that's never been seen before. And so the difference is that you're actually people that are showing symptoms of a cognitive decline, they're taking this new medication in the trial, and their symptoms decrease. And that is new. So you could actually take a medication, and your symptoms would actually improve, which we don't have that capability right now. So for us right now in the market, this is the best news that we've had in a very, very long time. And everyone is talking about it, and it can hopefully really make a difference. Of course, we're still in the human clinical trial phase. So
sure.
It could be another 5 years before the medication is available. But it's kind of exciting. But besides that, we need more money for research.
Certainly.
To actually learn
certainly.
How to prevent this disease. That's the name of the game.
No, certainly. And I'm happy to hear that those advancements, are taking place. You know, certainly we'd like to have them available on the market a lot sooner, but like anything else, whether it's bureaucracy or just science itself, you have to really, you know, delve into it as detailed as you can to make sure that it's going to work, obviously. So, you know, those trials can last
Correct.
Longer than we would like. And in the meantime, unfortunately, you know, tens upon thousands of families are still like adversely affected. But something interesting you brought up, Christine, right now in the narrative about prevention. And right now, you know, what can you tell the audience this evening about what families can do on a day-to-day basis in the sense of whether it's detecting signs or just in general, like one's own personal self-health. Like, what can the person just do simply to perhaps, and maybe this is an asinine question on my part, but is there anything that a person can do, whether it's through health and wellness, maybe a change of diet, whatever it is, that could just maybe greatly reduce their vulnerability acquiring and developing Alzheimer's? Is there such a question to ask like that?
Yes. I mean, there are things that we can do. And, you know, I mean, there are things that we can change that can actually reduce your risk factor by up to 35%. I mean, solely by changing your diet to a heart-healthy sort of a Mediterranean diet, meaning you really need to take out the red meats, you really need to take out the dairy, you know, you need to limit sugar intake, and eat whole grains and fruits and vegetables. And I know it sounds so cliche, and sometimes I even hate saying it to my caregivers and to my families. I'm like, yes, you have to eat right and exercise, just like the doctor says. But nothing can be truer than that. You know, we have something that we call like the six pillars of prevention. And the six pillars include a healthy diet. It includes exercising. It includes being de-stressed or getting enough sleep at night. We underestimate the power of sleep.
Yeah.
We talk about social activity. You know, you really need to keep socially active. We, as we age, we need to keep socially engaged with our community, with our friends, with our family, and that's proving to be extremely important. And the one thing that I think is really most important is staying cognitively aware, using your mind on a daily basis. Let's try to learn something new every day.
That's a challenge for some, Christine. Believe me, if you look at your newsfeed on Facebook, you know what? If you look at your newsfeed on Facebook, God help us. I mean, I think sometimes cognitive reasoning isn't there. So I'm a little alarmed by that.
Yeah, I mean, I am too. To be honest with you, yeah. When taking pictures of what we're having for lunch, you know, it becomes the biggest news of the day. You know that that's a problem. I totally agree with you.
Absolutely. I mean, listen, I'm all for people who are foodies and you love to take pictures of your food. You know, you love to dine out, or whether it's political opinions people are inserting on their news feeds or just like really obscure stuff.
Hey, but at
stuff.
Least political, I mean, at least you're inciting a debate, which is great for the brain.
I'm going to tell
you the best thing you can do for your brain is increase that adrenaline with debate or competition or, you know, those are good things.
Well, Christine, you know, I work in academia, and believe me, you know, I deal with colleagues in academia that are, you know, sometimes I wonder how they got their degrees. I don't know if it was just something you fill out on a back of a soda can.
Right?
Sometimes, yeah, it's kind of crazy. But getting back to the great advice you're giving us here, I mean, certainly, and I just picking up on what you said right now, I think cognitive exercise, I think, is so vital.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm someone, for example, I'm someone that reads every day, not just because I'm a political junkie, because I need to do that for the shows, but I love to read every day. And I'm not just talking about political news. I mean, I like to read my – I'm a guy, so I read my sports. I like to read –
Good. That's okay.
I read Business Insider. I read other types of literature and content because, to me, I think reading – you know, my dad, when I was little and like any other little kid, my dad always got on me about, hey, read a newspaper every day. And I hated it at first. I mean, I was like my mom. I'm sure my mom's going to kill me for saying this on the air. But I mean, I was like my mom, I hated reading, but my dad at just first grade instilled in me the importance of reading. And now I'm someone that, I mean, listen, between undergrad and grad school, I mean, the amount of books I've had to read is just like ridiculous, but I still enjoy reading. You know, one of the things, Christine,
that
I enjoyed after finishing grad school is that I had a whole bunch of books that I couldn't read yet for fun or for pleasure, because I have to read all these academic books. And now, you know, when I go to a book signing, regardless of what it is, whether it's a pro wrestling personality or a political figure or anybody, I thoroughly enjoy reading a book. Not on my tablet. Again, I don't want to diminish anybody who reads off their tablets. That's fine. but I physically like opening a book. I like cracking
it
open.
Yeah, the old-fashioned books, right?
Yeah, I like that. Believe it or not, I still have a library card. I still have my library card.
Oh, my God, do you? That's great.
Yeah. I haven't gone in a while, I've seen firsthand the importance of cognitive activity, and I think you're so right about that when you're talking about keeping the brain busy, right?
Yeah, and I tell people all the time, you know, they say, well, what about crossword puzzles and word search games? And I say, yeah, that's great. That's a good tool. That's a good beginning tool. But the problem is that people tend to pick the same easy level crossword puzzle or word search game, and then, you know, it's your brain gets used to it, and you're not pushing yourself any longer. And that's the problem. I mean, if you're going to continue to do crossword puzzles or word search games, well, you need to step it up a notch every time. I tell everybody, you know, even if it's an easy crossword puzzle, to make it more difficult, you know what you do? Put yourself against a timer. If this crossword puzzle usually takes you 10 minutes to complete, I want you to do it in 7. Put the timer on and go. And you'll see, I mean, at least you're pushing your brain to work faster and harder and build those more neurons and have all those synapses going at the same time. That's how we build our brain power. You know, doing something new, not just the same old routine every day. You know, don't even drive to work the same routine, the same route every day. Change it up. That's what we have to do.
You know what? That's a great piece of advice. I mean, I don't know for us here in Hudson County, sometimes if we deviate from our roads, like if it's Kennedy Boulevard or you're taking Palisade or, you know, West Side Highway in Jersey City or Tunnelly, I mean, those can be a challenge in itself. I mean, that can make your brain really work, you know? So,
oh, yeah. And, that's frustrating and not good for you. That just builds frustration and stress. That's not good. Stress is not good.
Oh, no, absolutely. You're absolutely right about that. And, folks, if you're just joining us right now, it is 8:40 on the East Coast here on Blog Talk Radio. And it's my pleasure to have us here tonight with, on the program exclusively, the president of the Act Now Foundation, Christine Allen, here on Politically Direct. So if you have a question for Christine or I, you will want to sort of get more educated about Alzheimer's, and if you have a family member who's affected, call in tonight, folks. I'd love to hear from you, 818-572-8032. We'll love to take your phone call and help you out the best way we can. For anyone listening tonight that has a family member that's affected with Alzheimer's or a close, you know, confidant, whoever it is, someone special in your life, call in tonight. We'd love to help you out and guide you in the right direction. Christine, you know, one of the things that really stand out for me about your organization, I think the way that you remain so visible, is the idea of how you started and how it expanded. And at some point, obviously, when you sat down and you looked expanding, you know, the elements of the Act Now Foundation, certainly, you know, let's talk about the Dementia Center in North Bergen. That, I'm sure, was a tremendous project. But like with anything else, I'm sure it was a calculated risk that the organization took.
Yeah.
What went into the planning for the genesis of the Dementia Center, and how's it going right now in terms of its progress?
Well, I have to tell you, this was just one of those crazy situations. Mayor Sacco in the township of North Bergen met this gentleman by the name of Murphy Vanderveld. He had bought the old Fritz Reuter nursing home and the Schützen Park here in North Bergen. Mm-hmm. And he was, you know, his father had Alzheimer's disease and he had passed away a few years ago. And Murphy Vanderveld had always given a lot of money to other Alzheimer's organizations. And when the city of North Bergen saw that he was building, you know, he had bought Fritz Reuter and he was building a dementia wing, Mayor Sacco has said, well, you have to meet Christine and Carrie. These are our Alzheimer's girls and they're here taking care of our city. So we went in to have a meeting with him and he literally said, what is it that you girls need? And we said, well, our dream is to have a dementia center where families can come and learn about this disease and get the support and the long-term care planning and the education and the resources and the advocacy and the support that they need to fight this disease head on. And he said, I can do that for you. And he did. He literally took part of Schützen Park, the back end of Schützen Park, completely gut renovated it and built us free of charge, gave it, donated to us this brand new dementia center where we can build our new home. It's almost 3,000 square feet where families can come and get the support and the education and the evaluations, testing, and get everything they need to learn how to fight this disease head on. And it was, we literally met with him, and 1 hour later, we walked out of his office, and Carrie and I looked at each other and we're like, did that just happen? Did this man just offer to build us a new dementia center? And 6 months later, we had it. And now
wow.
We're there. We're open for business. And it's an incredible gift from God and from the Vanderveld family. And I mean, and it just, we have so many plans together as an organization, as ACNOW and Hudson Hills Senior Living. I'm going to tell you something. We have a lot of relationships with a lot of different agencies, including a lot of nursing homes and everything. But the Vandervelds, who now own Hudson Hills Senior Living in North Bergen, this campus that I call it a campus with our center and this Hudson Hills Senior Living, together we are going to change the future of dementia care in New Jersey, actually in the tri-state area. And it is going to happen because the Vandervelds have this fight and this quest to fight this disease head on, and they're willing to put their money where their mouth is, and they're willing to make the changes, and they are, and they're doing it. And we haven't even talked about the huge venture that we're about to get into next year, which is exciting news too. But we are so grateful to Murphy Vanderveld and Anne Marie Vanderveld and the entire Vanderveld family for donating the space and for building this space for us. We, Fernando, we wouldn't be able to provide the programs and services that we do if it wasn't for them, if it wasn't for people like him and Tom DeGees and the entire community that have supported us from day one. And I know you say that, you know, we're so relevant and we're out in the field, and we are. I mean, we are out there in the community every single day pounding the pavement, but it's the community that's also recognizing the work that's needed here, and they're willing to do it. They're willing to help. It's an incredible thing when I think about it. It really is. It's not just Carrie and I, and I don't even know if you've met Stacy Hustle, our program director, who's been with us from day one, who we literally couldn't live without.
She's my superstar.
And the three of us really grew this organization, but we couldn't, it's not us alone, it's the entire community backing us, and that's what's gotten us today to where we are.
Well, again, it's a testament to how reputable the organization is, and listen, at the end of the day, it's really a testament to how, you know, worthwhile and how concerted the effort is by you and the entire organization to really be out there, to put your names out there, to put your reputations on the line, to give of yourselves and to give as many hours like you do. I remember going to the opening of the Dementia Center earlier this year, and I remember seeing you that day. And I mean, you were the star there. You were shining, but I could tell that you were tired. You were drained because I know this is laborious. I know it's laborious and it's exhausting, but you're a superstar like that. Like you find a way to just, you know, really, you know, pull it off without breaking a sweat. And I think that's probably the most admirable thing.
You should have seen me 10 minutes before the grand opening. I was literally breaking a sweat. We were literally putting the front door on of the dementia center as people were walking in. I mean, it was quite the scene, but you know, I can't do anything other than that. Like, this means so much to me and to Carrie that I couldn't do it any other way. I mean, that's just who we are. I mean, we really believe in what we're doing. We want to fight this disease. I mean, I'm living with it right now as well. My stepfather was diagnosed a year and a half ago.
Oh, wow.
And my other grandmother has it. And it's, you know, it's everywhere we turn, and it's a part of me, and I will continue to do. And so will Carrie. We will continue to do everything we can to help our families fight this disease. And you know, it doesn't matter. We take phone calls at midnight. We
sure.
see clients at all hours of the day or night because this disease has no time. It happens at every moment.
No, you're right. And just to sort of bounce off what you just mentioned right now, that it is a part of you. And I'm sure for many people listening tonight, Christine, maybe it's a legitimate concern, but at any point in time, does it worry you in the sense of, you know, because it seems to not, I wouldn't say be preeminent in your family, but because we've seen some family members of yours suffer from it, do you ever just, when you lay there at night or you're at home and just you're thinking to yourself, does it ever worry you or concern you that, oh my God, like this is something that could be hereditary. This is something that maybe I need to start worrying about. Does that ever cross your mind? And for people listening tonight that maybe feel that way, what can you tell them tonight to maybe help ease their fears a little bit?
It crosses my mind almost every day. Of course. I mean, you know, when I forget one word or I forget how to spell a certain word or I can't come up with that right word or I, you know, every moment that I forget, I'm like, oh my God, is this the first step? You know, and we all feel like that. And our memories do slow down. It's a normal part of the aging process. And we just have to differentiate between what is normal and what isn't normal. And I worry about it every day. Of course I do. But you know what? I try. I'm not perfect. I'm not always good. I don't always eat well. I definitely don't always get enough sleep. You know, I'm definitely stressed a lot. But I do try to do everything I can to prevent it. And you know what, at the end of the day, and I want to tell this to all of your listeners and everyone who is out there, at the end of the day, we cannot worry about something that may happen in the future. If we get stuck in that train of thought and that spot of fear, you're also almost willing it to happen because that stress alone can be a risk factor. So if I forget something or if I forget where I put my keys or if I misplace something and I can't find it, you know what? I try not to focus on it. I try to move forward and I try to get enough sleep as I can every night. To be honest with you, when I don't get enough sleep at night, I wake up the next day, I don't feel as focused. It's just a fact of life. So if everyone just concentrate on doing the best they can to be as healthy as they can, then all we can do is just cross your fingers, pray to God that you're not one person that gets it. And hopefully by the time we do possibly have the onset of symptoms, maybe there'll be something more to do about it. But yeah, I think about it every day along with millions of other Americans out there who think about it every day. And you just can't let it stop you. You have to keep
going.
And that I think that goes with any disease, right?
That's a great attitude. Yes, absolutely. That's a great attitude to have. You know, Christina, I wanted to ask you because, you know, like anything else, when I do prepping for a show and for a guest, and, you know, I've had the honor of you being a guest already twice on my podcast, and certainly I'm happy to have you here tonight. Like anything else,
yeah,
when I'm
prepping
and
researching. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Oh, listen, no, the pleasure's all mine, believe me. When I prepping in my research, and certainly I started Googling and reading, you know, different either medical journals or different type of news articles, at least, you know, from reputable news organizations, you know. But, you know, for someone that's so involved in the field like yourself, is there anything you can tell us about, and I hate to use this word, but the viability or the realism in perhaps any sort of, not necessarily holistic treatment, but, you know, we hear it all the time that there's plenty of scientific research happening outside of our borders, perhaps in Europe, for example. You know, we've seen that, you know, cancer treatments overseas are, you know, making some advancements that are making advancements here in the States, for whatever reason, whether it's the bureaucracy, the FDA, whatever. But is there anything that maybe you've read about science overseas that maybe gives us a better glimmer of hope than what we see here domestically? Because again, you just mentioned before that certainly there are human trials taking place right now and that funding's necessary for medical research. But have you come across any sort of viable data or anything viable from overseas studies that are being conducted that you know, are showing more promise than anything we see here in our borders?
Well, you know what? I mean, to be perfectly honest with you, we have a lack of research and viable data when it comes to holistic treatments for any diseases, not just Alzheimer's. I mean, the scientific world just does not want to believe that holistic measures work. I personally believe that they do, and I personally believe that they are a very viable option. I mean, you have to remember, I mean, our bodies are really built to live on a plant-based diet. They really are. And they function higher on a plant-based diet. And there's lots of research that says that a plant-based diet can take people who have been on 30 medications down to zero medications. They can take people who can't walk and who can't even leave their home, and 2 weeks after being on a plant-based diet are taking walks in the park. So you have to see the viability of alternative treatments for any disease, but especially for the brain disease. So there is a lack of knowledge. I mean, there is a lack of viable data that says they work. For every trial or for every research data that says it works, you will find one that says it doesn't. And so we are left up to decide for ourselves, does it work or doesn't it work? We as an organization believe very much in a non-pharmacological approach to treating dementia. So that means, you know, drugs is a last resort. So we don't want people using antipsychotic medications or even anti-anxiety medications if it can be altered. We would rather that you focus on alternative medications, which are the ginkgo bilobas and the fish oils and the vitamin Ds, and as much antioxidants as you can have, and eating a healthy diet and approaching it from that way. I mean, you know, I've seen people who have gone from such a state of being locked inside their homes and not going anywhere and not doing anything because they have such a poor diet and such a poor lifestyle. And once they make those lifestyle changes, they're up and out of the house. And it's an incredible thing. So
sure.
We're very much for alternative medications. I mean, alternative options. Do we have any viable data? Not really. I mean, you're not going to have, very few doctors. I have come across one doctor before who actually recommended a whole vitamin regimen. But most doctors will even say, don't waste your time. And I don't believe that. I don't believe that at all. I think we have to do everything we can to fight this disease. And if
Absolutely. That
means going, you know, doing something holistic, you better believe it. I'm going to try it.
Oh, listen, cheers to that. And for anyone listening tonight, I hope that that's a breath of fresh air and something that's reassuring for everyone tonight that maybe has a family member that's coping with Alzheimer's right now. And certainly, you know, you're trying to tune in tonight and get as much viable and educational content here tonight. So hopefully we're doing that. Christine, what are the things that stands out for me about your visibility with the organization and just as a whole, I think, is the idea of how far it's come in being so easily recognizable, not just Hudson County, but statewide. But at the end of the day, like anything else, you know, and we talked about this before, you know, the notion of funding. What's been your experience, if any, dealing with the legislature in Trenton in terms of talking to elected officials, not just our own assemblymen or assemblywomen and state senators in our own here in Hudson County, in general in Trenton, whether it's, you know, we have a new administration now with Bill Murphy, certainly the previous 8 years of Chris Christie were very different. You know, what's a priority and what isn't. But the bottom line is, you know, certainly talking with legislators is vital and it's important. What are some experiences you can share with us tonight in the sense of how successful it's been, how frustrating it's been, or everything in between when it comes to talking to members of the legislature, when it comes to giving more focus and emphasis and ultimately dollars to help fund to fight Alzheimer's?
Well, you know, it's interesting because not too long ago, we actually went down to Trenton, spent an entire week in the State House we set up tables in the main hallway, the main thoroughfare, where we would catch every single legislator that came through. So we spoke to hundreds of legislators and stopped them. And I have to tell you, we got such a welcome response from our legislators in the State House. Everyone, I feel like I probably spoke to almost every legislator in the entire state in that 1 week. Everybody stopped at the table. Everyone wanted more information. Everyone wanted to know how we were doing this and what we were doing and how they could help. You know, at the end of the day, did it really make a difference in our funding? It didn't. And that's the difficult part. The difficult part is taking those wonderful conversations and parlaying that into a funding stream, or parlaying it into making a change within the State House by creating this new program for our caregivers. Everyone has these great ideas and these great and a good heart, and they want to do the right thing. But then actually taking those words and turning them into action is a little harder, and it takes a little more time. And we're working at it, and we actually have more of a rapport and a conversation beginning with Governor Murphy. He is very interested in taking care of the caregivers in the state of New Jersey, and we've been opening up a dialogue with him. And he actually called me on my cell phone for our grand opening to congratulate us. Yeah, I was so honored that and he's a wonderful supporter. So it's great that it's coming down from the top in the state that says, hey, Governor Murphy is saying, hey, Alzheimer's and dementia and caregiver support is important to this administration, and we're actually going to do something about it. And Governor Murphy, wants to sit down and have a conversation with Act Now Foundation and find out what we're doing and how he can help. So I think the conversation that we started last year, you know, we're still having it. And I think it's actually hopefully this coming year in 2019, we can actually make some changes. And if that was ever possible in an administration in New Jersey, it's possible now with Governor Murphy there. It really is, because he does care. And he's touched by it in his family, his wife. His wife's family has suffered with this disease. So it's personal to him as well. Yeah.
Well, listen, that's certainly reassuring to hear for you, and again, for your advocacy with the organization, that the governor is invested, obviously, emotionally. We'll see how invested the legislature is financially, because that's always, at the end of the day, dollars and cents is what's going to make a difference here, and certainly make an impact in this fight. Christina, one of the things that stood out for me, I remember just looking at my notes here, and it's something that stood out for me, and for someone that's so invested in the cause, and certainly, you know, firsthand, you've had to deal with family members that have battled dementia and certainly with Alzheimer's. It seems at times, you know, again, I don't want to get overly political tonight with you, but it seems at times that even in, whether it's the national dialogue or anything else, that if the way we look at certain elected officials or the way we look at our elected leaders in general, if they don't act a certain way or don't say the right things or perhaps don't behave in the way that we're used to, or whatever the case may be, and these words are thrown around like, oh my God, this person must be having dementia, or this person must be like losing their mind. Like, when you hear that sort of rhetoric, I mean, yes, it's inflammatory, yes, it's bombastic, and at times it's done for hyperbole. But when you hear those words being thrown around, how does it make you feel when it's just sort of thrown around in such a cavalier way?
You know what I automatically think? Obviously, they don't know anybody in their family, or they don't even have any friends that have this disease. Because if you knew someone who was fighting this disease, you would never say that. You would never say that. So they're coming from a point of ignorance. Ignorance is not bliss in this case. And, you know, I don't say anything. It's not my place to say anything. I don't want to get into a debate with other people, because, you know what, at the end of the day, you usually cannot change people's minds.
Right. That's right.
One day he might have it in his family, and he's going to live to regret that he ever said things like that. And you know, this is why this disease has a fear and a stigma associated with it. People don't want to be called out that they're losing their mind. So therefore, that's what keeps a lot of people quiet. They don't tell their family members that they're suffering because I'll tell you, they are the first ones to know that something's wrong. They know. And then they try to hide it because they don't want others to see that they're basically, as people say, seem to think that they're losing their mind. And they don't want that stigma. So they keep it quiet. They don't say anything. They don't get diagnosed, which means they don't get out. They don't reach out for help and a treatment and a lifestyle change. They're not doing anything to proactively fight this disease, and which means that the disease is just progressing even faster. So it's this circle of hatred and fear and stigma, and that's what we have to stop. We have to stop that altogether. And
well,
I say
well
shame
said.
On people like that. Yeah.
Well said. Well said. I mean, because unfortunately, you know, it gets thrown around a lot in today's political climate when, you know, people sometimes throw those words out at, you know, at an elected official. And I mean, again, I don't want to get overly political, but, you know, we hear it all the time.
Well, I
you
think
know,
we've heard it. I think we've heard it said about our top dog, have we not?
Sure. I mean, for example, we've heard people say the president of the United States is, you know, must be going through dementia, or the president of the United States is,
exactly.
you know, must have a defective mind. And or other elected officials, whether they're senators or congressmen and women.
Yeah.
So it
and
seems
I say,
like
please don't give dementia such a bad name.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
No, well said. Well said. Folks, if you're just joining us right now, it's 9:05 on the East Coast here on Blog Talk Radio. It's my pleasure to still have you on here live with us, the president of the Agnew Foundation, the great Christine Allen. Folks, if you're not familiar, check out actnowfoundation.org. You can do it now on the phone if you're multitasking. You can do it after the show. But check it out, actnowfoundation.org. They're a wonderful nonprofit organization dedicated to creating awareness and providing resources to help families concerning and suffering from Alzheimer's. As well, folks, on the main page, there's a little yellow button that says donate. Do me a favor. As I said at the onset of the show, I know it's October. I know people love their little pumpkin lattes because it's cold or chilly and it's fall. But you know what? Instead of having coffee 5 times this week, do me a favor. Only have it twice this week. And take those 3 days, take those $3 and change, and you know what? Save them. And do it every single week for a month. And you know what? That's 12 extra dollars that you're donating to a very worthy cause. So do me a favor. Do that. Click the donate button on the Agnew Foundation. Help them because they certainly need it. And they're certainly very deserving of your disposable income. So please do that. Again, and no charge whatsoever plugging here. I'm your marketing guy tonight, so no commission tonight whatsoever, Christine. I'm doing this pro bono
for you
to help you out because you're great. But just a few more things before I let you go tonight. Well, you know, you did mention that as 2018 draws to a close and 2019 is fastly approaching, there are some new things on the horizon, new events, perhaps new challenges. What can you share with us tonight about what new things we can come to expect from the Agnew Foundation moving forward?
Well, I mean, I'd like to take this time to tell you, though, it's the end of the year for us. We do have our largest fundraising event coming up next month on Friday, November 30th, from 7 to 11 p.m., and it's a really important night for us because this year we're going to be honoring all those family members and loved ones that we lost in the last year. We're going to honor all the families that are still living and struggling with this disease. And we're also going to honor those people who are continuing to fight this disease, to end this disease. It's going to be a very special night for us, a very emotional night, but we want to invite everyone to come along and join us in celebrating the end of this disease. And that's what our hopes are. It's going to be at the Boulevard, which is the formerly Schutzen Park there on our campus at 3167 Kennedy Boulevard in North Bergen. It's on our campus of where our dementia center is. There is a ballroom there. It's been completely renovated. It's going to be absolutely gorgeous. So we'll have our gala there on Friday, November 30th, and we would just love it if everyone could come out and support the cause. We've got some pretty incredible silent auction items, including a signed guitar from Bruce Springsteen and trips to Florida and things like that that people have donated to us that we can auction off to raise money for all of our programs and services. And all the money that we will raise that night go to our programs and services and allow us to offer our services to the community free of charge. So we don't charge the community anything. We don't bill their insurance. We don't ask for any money in return. So therefore, we ask for people to come out and have a wonderful time with us. There'll be a 12-piece orchestra, lots of food, lots of great fun, some silent auction. And it's our big annual fundraiser. And we just hope everyone can join us in that regard. And that's going to spearhead the new programs that we have going forward. Next year is a big year for us. We really want to start to do some programs about cognitive rehabilitation. So we actually want to run programs that can possibly improve the cognitive abilities of our loved ones who are facing this disease. So we've got some awesome music therapy coming up. We've got art therapy classes that we'll be doing for our loved, for our seniors who are suffering. We're doing this wonderful new cool thing. We have to cross our fingers that we get funding for this, but there's a new program with Google called Google Bike Around. And it's an opportunity for seniors to literally ride a stationary bike while they're looking at a screen, and you pop up on the screen the street they grew up on, they grew up in when they were 5 years old. And it's really like they can bike down their street they grew up on. So it's able for them to do something called reminiscence therapy, which is really bringing up the past and bringing up the memories of the past and talking about it. At the same time, they get some physical activity in there. And so all of these kinds of programs improve their cognitive abilities. So next year our focus is on cognitive rehabilitation, but I think you know what the biggest project is that we're working on, right? Our new Dementia Village.
Very nice. Very nice.
Yeah. So the Dementia Village is really going to be the first Dementia Village within the entire United States. It's going to be here in North Bergen on our campus. And
wow.
This is it's a really exciting project. A Dementia Village is literally a city within a city, where people with dementia can roam and walk freely. They can get up out of bed and they can walk out the front door and they can go to the movie theater. They can go to a library. They can go to an activity center. They can go in the park and sit down and have a cup of coffee, all on the confines of a safe environment. Everybody who works there wears regular street clothes. They look like people just walking down the street, but they're trained dementia professionals there to keep an eye on everyone. But the dementia patient to live a normal life. And that's our goal is to, you know, people, our loved ones that have dementia, Fernando, they don't stop living. They're still human beings. They still have a lot to offer us and offer our society and offer us as a community. We just need to allow them to live. And so this Dementia Village is that opportunity, and that's the Vanderbilts. That is their quest, is to build the first Dementia Village, real Dementia Village, in the United States. And we've already got some conceptual drawings done up, and we're looking at possibly starting construction as early as sometime next year. I don't know when, but so we have a lot on the horizon, and it's all very, very exciting. And so I'm hoping that you'll be a part of it as well. You've got to come around and take a look at what we're doing. It's pretty exciting.
Oh no, absolutely. And listen, I'm going to I hope I get an invite for the 30th. I certainly want to be there and show my support for you. So I'll definitely want to be there for you and show my support. I'll certainly plug it as much as I can here on the podcast.
Good.
One thing, Christine, that stood out for me, and I wasn't sure because. Like anything else, I think with many organizations, they tend to sort of overlap because of not necessarily the abundancy of them, right? But for example, I know that this coming weekend, for example, I know another organization in New Jersey called Alzheimer's New Jersey, is hosting an event. Do you work with them at all? Is there any sort of overlap or collaboration with them, or are you just sort of your own entity and you don't, communicate or interact with this other organization? Because I know that there are others around New Jersey and in the tri-state area.
Yeah. I mean, I will say nobody does what we do. And we're exciting to be, I mean, we're excited to be groundbreaking in that avenue. But of course, we work with all of the other agencies that are out there, those other Alzheimer's. We have close relationships with all of them, and we do work well together. But it's an incredible thing that we all have our place. And we are just thankful that we do something different than they do. So there really is no overlap. We all have our home, we all have our place, but we do work together. And we are all friends, and we do talk, and we do, you know, sometimes I get information from them and they refer clients to us. And really, that's the way it should be, Fernando. We should all be working together for the greater cause. This is about the cause. It's not about one organization over the other. It's all of us working together to fight this disease, and the people that are suffering are the only people that matter. We don't matter. There's no need or no room for fighting. It's all of us working together for a bigger cause, and that's how we look at it.
You know what? That's a really healthy way to approach this, Christine, because it's sort of the same, you know, mindset that I have when it comes to this program. You know, I know that at your events that you've had, you have other local news organizations show up, and I'm always laughing when people say, "Oh my God, you know, I love your news page," and I'm like, well, thanks, but I'm not really a news channel. Like, I'm a podcast. Like, there's really nobody else that does what I do in Hudson County in terms of having a podcast.
Exactly,
like
there isn't
every week. Yeah, so in that regard, I'm fortunate because A, half the battle is getting good guests like yourself, which I've been fortunate for, but B is just being different. You know, where like, I'm not a news organization. I'm not posting every day. I'm not publishing articles. I mean, mine is a more opinion based commentary type of show.
Exactly.
And like you just said right now, I think you said it perfectly. I think we all know what we're good at. I think we all know our specific place and how we contribute to the cause in the sense, you know, what I'm trying to do is contribute to the cause of journalism. And as dysfunctional as the institution of journalism may be lately, I'm trying to do my part.
Yeah.
I know you're trying to do your part as well.
Exactly.
In terms of raising awareness about Alzheimer's. And you know, Christine, I know you've had a long day, and before I let you go here, because it's 9:15 here, and you've been an absolute sweetheart as always. And you know, I feel like I could talk to you for 3 hours and not get through
everything. I know.
That's,
we could just keep talking.
Exactly. But before I let you go, it's sort of my tradition every week with my guests. You know, I think what we've done tonight is have a very informative and illuminating conversation about Alzheimer's and really helping provide information and resources to our audience tonight for those that maybe are suffering with a loved one or a neighbor or someone that's close to them. And if we've given people hope tonight and if we've been able to educate people, then we're making a difference. So but before I let you go, like I said, I've been grilling you for an hour basically. So what I do with my guests every week now, you know what, the floor is yours. So if you got a question for me or if you want to maybe pick my brain about something, the floor is yours, Christine. What do you have for me?
Well, why don't you tell me about what you think's happening in the political world out there, especially in Hudson County? What is your thoughts on everything that's been going down here?
Oh, God. Wow. That might take another hour.
Tough one. I know.
Well, one of the things I think I'm very grateful for, and this is more on my local show, on my Talk of the Hudson podcast on Wednesday nights, is, you know, ever since Amy DeGees became the chairwoman for the Hudson County Democratic Organization, you know, I really respect and applaud her, like her desire for transparency. Like she is a regular fixture on my show every month. You know, she's, you know, we have sort of a handshake agreement where, you know, I'd like you to come on once a month. And she does since she was elected in June. To her credit, she's come on in July. She's come on in August. She came on last month. She's going to be on next week and so on and so forth. So in that regard, I'm really happy that as chairwoman, she's, you know, putting forward a transparency that normally we didn't see, I think, with, you know, one particular party, I think, in the county. Now, in terms of an overall political climate, listen, I'm in academia. And, Christine, when I tell you that I sometimes get to campus and I just walk into the faculty lounge, and I'm not lying to you. Like, I literally sit down with my thermos and I just want to have my coffee. And I can tell you right now, maybe two minutes doesn't go by So one of my colleagues, in a very annoying, very obnoxious manner, hey, Fernando, do you see what the Trump, did you see what the president did? See what the president did? See what the president did? I'm like, can I just, I just got here. Can I have my muffin? Can I have my coffee?
Yeah, really.
Like, can you get back to me in a few minutes? And it's,
but you can't ever take that hat off. You have to wear that hat all the time.
Oh, no.
That's,
oh, no, no,
that's what you do.
No, no, of course. Absolutely. But you know, I just want to have my muffin. You know what I'm saying?
I know.
But no, but my point about that is that it's really hard to escape, I think, any sort of political rhetoric because, you know, smartphone technology has, you know, really, it's in our face every day. You know, the idea that, you know, listen, when I went to college and when I grew up, I was just having this conversation last night with my guest on my local show. And, you know, it's amazing about social media and what we see every day and what we are exposed to. I mean, I thank the Lord that when I was in college and when I was on spring break and when I was younger, that there was no social media because I did a lot of stupid things.
Me too.
In college. And thank God. And there are a lot of, thank God that there was no social media when I was on spring break because there'd be a lot of unflattering pictures of me in Vegas,
yeah,
in Miami. So in that regard, I just think that smartphone technology, you know, it's brought the world together. Certainly globalization has contributed to making the world smaller.
But it can also tear
us
apart if we're not careful.
Absolutely. You know, it brings us together because of geography and proximity,
yeah,
but it can certainly tear us,
yeah,
apart on ideology. And I think it's become so toxic that, you know, I wish that I could just disconnect for like a month, but I can't because whether it's my radio show,
oh my gosh,
shows,
that's forever,
or it's my philanthropy, which by the way, I'm hoping I see you at my breast cancer event this month coming up later on the 26th.
Yes.
I hope,
yes,
I see you.
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely.
You know, I
will absolutely be there.
And please bring friends for the 10th annual edition of A Professor's Quest to Save Breasts. It's a great cause. You know, since 2008, I've raised $34,000 for breast cancer awareness. So let's add to
great.
That total. So please bring friends. But I just wish I could disconnect for like a month and not be near my phone.
Me too.
But it's impossible.
Yeah.
It's impossible. But to answer your question, I think that whether it's local or statewide or nationally, I think that we have to develop a thicker skin when we have conversations. I think we have to develop the ability to hear each other and have a conversation where, you know,
yeah,
you learn more by not talking. My grandfather told me that. He's like,
well,
you know,
and I can give you the
Yeah, go on.
Absolutely.
No, go on.
You certainly do. No, I was just going to say, you know, 55% of communication is done via body language. 38% of communication is tone of voice. Only 7% is the actual words that we say.
That's right. That's right.
That's what I tell my caregivers all the time. So just because your loved one has dementia and has difficulty speaking and having it doesn't mean you can't continue to communicate because you can.
You have to.
Mm-hmm.
You have to. You have to continue
to
help stimulate them, engage them, and keep them active.
Yeah.
And, you know,
exactly.
And that's a really important lesson. And Christine, again, I want to thank you tonight because you have been just, again, you continue to be an inspiration to all of us here that are listening tonight and to people that we know here in Hudson County mutually because of the good work you're doing. Keep up the good fight. Keep raising
thank
awareness.
You.
Keep being a pain in the ass to all our elected officials. do that. But you know what?
I know.
You can do that, but you can do that because you have a certain charm to you. So you can get away with that. You know what I'm saying? So you can do that. But again, I want to congratulate you on the success of the ECNOW Foundation, on the success of the Dementia Center opening. Certainly keep posted on the Dementia Village that you were mentioning before that hopefully will be up and running in 2019. Certainly, you know, I will be posting information about your gala on the 30th of November.
Please do.
And, you know,
yeah.
No,
we really want a big turnout.
Oh, I know you'll get it, and I'll do everything I can to help you out. And do me a favor. Tell everyone you know about your favorite podcast. Not Talking to Hudson, but Politically Direct. If you can do that, I will absolutely keep adoring you.
You
better
believe
it. More than I already
it.
Adore you. Well, I appreciate that. And, Christine,
you're very welcome,
one.
And I just want to say thank you, Fernando, for having me on your local podcast and for having me on Politically Direct. It's an incredible opportunity, and I really appreciate you giving me your time. and your support. So thank you.
No, absolutely. You're more than welcome, and I look forward to seeing you later this month in my event, and we'll continue collaborating because the way we make a difference. And
absolutely.
You're a prime example of that. So have a great night, Christine. Enjoy, and we'll talk again soon.
Thank you. Have a great night. Take care.
You too. Have a good night. Folks, it's 9:25 here on the East Coast, and a great interview tonight, folks, with the president of the Act Now Foundation for Alzheimer's Awareness, Ms. Christine Allen. Again, just a fantastic guest. I've had her on my local show a couple of times, and this is my first time here on Politically Direct. And as I said to you folks at the onset of the program, you know, certainly this podcast is politically centric, and certainly I love talking about politics, whether it's local, state, or national, but it's important to raise awareness about important causes. And really, as Christine, you know, illustrated tonight, the, you know, the ability to bring awareness to Alzheimer's, which continues to be a very crippling disease upon our country, I think is frightening. It's scary, but there's hope on the horizon there. And with good people like Christine working alongside the Act Now Foundation, that hope is going to manifest itself into a reality. So again, good job by her and everybody that's associated with the Act Now Foundation. Folks, before I let you go tonight again, don't forget that if you miss any part of tonight's broadcast, you can go to www.insidernj.com/podcast. You can hear all of my episodes there, not just tonight's guests, but previous guests and future guests coming up. And you can do that absolutely free of charge from any PC, Mac, smartphone, or tablet. www.insidernj.com/podcast. And you'll get to hear all my episodes, and I'd love to hear your feedback about the show. Now, again, folks, if you have any comments or opinions about not just tonight's episode, but previous guests, write to the inbox, politicallydirectnj@yahoo.com. Once again, politicallydirectnj@yahoo.com. Now, don't forget to follow the show on Instagram at politicallydirectnj. Of course, following me on Instagram is greatly appreciated at @your_favorite_Fernando. Certainly follow me on Twitter. I'd love to hear from you on Twitter at Professor F. Uribe. Of course, for all of you that are on Facebook, take a moment, click the like button on the official page on Facebook for Politically Direct. Again, love all the support on the social media here for the program. And folks, don't forget to check out Insider NJ by going to www.insidernj.com for the best coverage of the political scene throughout the state of New Jersey, whether it's what's going on in the Governor's Mansion, in the legislature, or all these hot, you know, congressional races coming up now in 26 days. There's no shortage of stuff to read about, folks, on Insider NJ. And once you go on the site, don't forget, click on the subscribe button at the very top, and you'll be subscribed to the Morning Intelligence Briefing, courtesy of Insider NJ. It's conveniently delivered to your inbox each and every morning. So whether you're working out, maybe just reading the paper, maybe watching the morning cable news shows, getting ready for work, getting ready to commute to school, whatever it is, check it out. It's the best journalism that you'll come across each and every day, conveniently delivered to your inbox. Again, the Morning Intelligence Briefing, courtesy of Insider NJ. Forget to subscribe on the main site, www.insidernj.com. Don't forget to start your day with Insider NJ. Folks, again, before I let you go tonight, again, I talked about it at the onset of the show. It bears repeating again, and I want to bring to your attention a very worthwhile story that should be on all of our minds this evening. And I'll tell you a story about Andre Scavetti, a very courageous and just an outstanding young man. He's a senior at Cedar Grove High School in Cedar Grove, New Jersey, and he is a nominee for the USA Football's Heart of a Giant Award. Now, his story is an inspiring one, and I urge you to show your support for him, too. Now, again, you can go to www.heartofagiant. You can cast your vote. Again, Andre Scavetti, as soon as you click on the site, he's the first guy there on week 5 of voting. He's an offensive lineman with Cedar Grove High School. And listen, when you look at him, I mean, listen, he looks like a tough cookie there. I'll tell you, if I'm a defensive lineman or a linebacker or a safety, if I have to run across the line of scrimmage and I'm looking across at him, I'll tell you right now, I'll be terrified. He looks like a tough customer, but he's got a heart of gold. And really, you know, he's very deserving there. And USA Football does a great job with the Heart of a Giant. Again, it is sponsored by the Hospital of Special Surgery. And, of course, they're partnering with the New York Giants. Again, folks, you know,
As a loyal member of Cowboys Nation and a devoted fan of the Dallas Cowboys, I never talk about the New York Giants on this show, or probably never will, but I make an exception here this month because, you know what, I want to share Andre's story and how important it is to raise awareness about him and really how deserving he is to win the Heart of a Giant Award coming up this month. Now, there will be six finalists selected during this vote, and the six finalists will receive a $1,500 equipment grant for their high school football programs, and each finalist will also receive a Heart of a Giant gift bag. Now, the grand prize winner, which hopefully will be Andre later on, will receive an additional $5,000 equipment grant for his or her high school football program, and also the Heart of a Giant trophy presentation will take place on the actual field at MetLife Stadium in December during a Giants home game. Now, again, folks, when you go to www.usafootball.com/Heart of a Giant, cast your vote. Do it often, whether it do it from your PC, do it from your Mac, do it from your smartphone, do it from your tablet. Vote as much as you can every day for Andre Scavetti. Again, voting ends on October 27th. He's a great kid. He's a high school senior, again, at Cedar Grove High School. He's an offensive lineman. And folks, really, I mean, just to sort of, you know, share with you his story, I mean, listen, it's an inspiring one. And for those of you that don't know Andre, has been diagnosed with what's called osteochondritis dissecans, otherwise known as OCD. Now, for most of us, you know, we kind of confuse this OCD with sort of the traditional OCD that many of us sort of talk about on an everyday basis. But osteochondritis dissecans does develop in the knees, and it develops in the knees when pieces of your knee or lesions are slowly decaying because they aren't getting enough blood flow. Now, tragically, this disease is found in around 30 children out of every 100,000 here in the United States, and that's only for one knee and one lesion. Now, unfortunately, in Andre's situation, he's had three lesions in his right knee, and he's currently combating three more that have formed in his left knee. But make no mistake about it, folks, it is not, you know, his tenacity and his perseverance has not wavered. Certainly, he started playing football when, you know, during his freshman year, certainly because of developing OCD in both of his knees. It certainly created a little bit of a roadblock for him during his high school years, but he's back to playing football now as a senior, and he's a great story. Folks, I can't say enough about really how admirable he is, and certainly, you know, I send my prayers and my support to his entire family. Of course, his sister, Elisa Scavetti, who's a big fan of the show, not just Politically Direct, but also Talking to Hudson, where I featured Andre on last night as well. And I'll continue to feature Andre in both my podcasts for the rest of October as voting does continue until October the 27th. So he's a great story. He's very deserving. Do me a favor. Go to www.usafootball.com/Heart of a Giant. It is week five of the voting. And as soon as you click on the site, you'll see he's the first guy there. Andre Scavetti, very, very intimidating offensive lineman, if you ask me. So, again, if I was a linebacker or a safety, I would not want to see him at the line of scrimmage for sure. So, but he's got a heart of gold. He's got just an overwhelming amount of support from his family and friends who are voting for him. Let's get him across the finish line, folks. Let's make sure he's the recipient in December for the Heart of a Giant Award at MetLife. Again, courtesy of USA Football, the Hospital for Special Surgery, and the New York Giants. So shout out to Andre Scavetti, and I hope you win it, man. I'll continue plugging you on the podcast because I believe in you, and I know you're going to beat this condition, and you're going to go on to have a very prosperous career. I can just see it right now. So again, folks, www.usafootball.com/Heart of Giant. Andre Scavetti, Cedar, and vote for him often as voting ends on October the 27th. All right, folks, again, just as a reminder, don't forget, you know, if you miss any part of tonight's broadcast, again, www.insidernj.com/podcast. Great guest tonight, Christine Allen, the president of the Act Now Foundation for Alzheimer's Awareness. And listen, whether it's on your morning commute, getting your daily workout in, walking your dog, you know, doing laundry for my students that are still studying for midterms, both past and present, do me a favor. Take a break, tune in, and you'll be happy that you did. And never forget, folks, that it's real, it's here, it's Politically Direct. Good night. Atlantic City. Got some good friends down there listening tonight here on Blog Talk Radio and also via Insider NJ. Looking forward to seeing them next month during the League of Municipalities Convention on November 13th, 14th, and 15th. Looking forward to that. Looking forward to the Insider NJ cocktail party coming up during the League of Municipalities, so stay tuned for that. I'll give you more information in the weeks and months ahead. Of course, folks, as a reminder, coming up on Friday night, October the 26th, my personal fundraiser for the American Cancer Society is the 10th annual edition of your Professor's Quest to Save Breasts, and it's to benefit Making Strides Against Breast Cancer. And since 2008, folks, you'll be happy to know yours truly has raised over $34,000 for breast cancer research. So coming up on Friday night, October the 26th, at the world-famous Son Cubano on the waterfront in Western New Jersey at 40-4 Riverwalk Place, plenty of free parking. Valet parking as well, folks. No cover at the door. Wonderful drink specials, excellent networking opportunities, and outstanding prizes. We'll be raffling off with all proceeds from the event benefiting Making Strides Against Breast Cancer. It is October, folks. It's still Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Let's make a difference, and let's defeat breast cancer once and for all. So, again, we're happy to plug a lot of things this week, folks, here. So, again, good night, Atlantic City. Looking forward to seeing you next month during the League of Municipality. I'll see you next week, folks, here on Blog Talk Radio as I welcome my colleague and Insider NJ columnist Jay Lasseter to the show. And we have a lot to talk about leading up to the midterm elections coming up on November the 6th. So, again, I'll see you here next week on Blog Talk Radio as I'm proud to partner with Insider NJ. And don't forget, let's keep on talking.